Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the first 18 verses. John 20, 1 through 18. This is the word of the Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. When I was studying at Westminster, one thing that several professors had told me was to never leave the congregation without the hope of the gospel, which is one of the reasons that the Good Friday service is a difficult service. It's somber and sorrowful, and we leave with the death of Jesus Christ. But the joy that is before us comes 2 days later at his resurrection. And that is the joy of what we have before us this morning. A few miles down the road, my dad's body is buried some 6 feet under the ground. If I were to go out there today and visit his grave, what should I find? Should be solid grass, a small piece of rock with his name on it. But what if I went out there and found a big hole in the ground, his coffin laid to the side, and his body nowhere to be found? I don't think my initial thought would be, "Oh, he must have risen from the dead." I would look at that and say, "Who has desecrated the tomb, the grave of my dad?" Certainly, this was what Mary would have felt. A mix of anger, a mix of loss and despair. Her heart had been restless. Very likely, she didn't even sleep through the night. She rises early while it is still dark and goes to the tomb, only to find it open and Jesus' body is nowhere to be found. Well, she runs back immediately and tells Peter and the other disciple, who was most likely John, who very seldomly refers to himself in his own gospel. Well, the disciples immediately run back to the tomb and they find it just as Mary had said. They enter the tomb and they find something rather curious. They find the linen cloths that were wrapped around Jesus' body lying there. And the cloth that was wrapped around his head folded up and set up by itself. Well, certainly if thieves had raided the tomb, they wouldn't have had the care to unwrap a dead body of its linen and then fold up one of the pieces and then take the body. It was the practice of some to enter the tombs in the hopes that they could find valuables that were left with the deceased. No, it wasn't thieves who took the body of Jesus. And it says the disciples went in, and as John went in, he saw and believed. One of the things we will notice as we go through the Gospels is even the disciples' own hardness of heart. We particularly see this in the Gospel of Mark, where they just don't get it. And yet finally here, in seeing an empty tomb, the seeds of understanding the gospel finally begin to form. Finally begin to understand that Jesus must die and rise again from the dead. And so they go back home. But not Mary. Mary remained outside the tomb, weeping. And this is the portion of the text which we will focus on this morning. Mary is outside of this tomb, weeping, and in the midst of her distress and her anguish, she finds it in herself to follow suit after the disciples. And she stoops to look into the tomb. But she doesn't find just the linen cloth lying there. She finds two angels clad in white sitting where Jesus' body had been laid. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" What are they truly asking here? Do they actually have any question, any doubt in their minds as to why Mary would be weeping now? They don't actually care to know the answer. The point is this. What they are implying is, woman, there is no reason for you to be weeping this day. They are implying, woman, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Why do you weep? And after her response, she turns to find Jesus standing there behind her. This Jesus whom she had loved so dearly, her teacher, her friend. And yet in her anguish, in her weeping, she did not recognize him. Whether it was her own grief or whether Jesus himself was supernaturally keeping her from recognizing, the text does not say. But Jesus asks her the same thing. Woman. And this term is an honorific. It is a term of respect. Jesus is honoring her. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Mary, in her desperation, says, if you've taken his body away, just tell me that I may take the body, that it may be honored properly. And his death would be honored. And we have here Jesus' response, which is one of the most endearing, intimate, comforting words that we hear from him. Mary. It's easy to read through the pages of Scripture as though they are devoid of any emotion. But that's not the case. Can you imagine the compassion and the love in the voice of Jesus when he looked at this woman whom he loved, Mary? All throughout Scripture, through the Gospel of John, we have the picture of the Good Shepherd calling out with his own voice to his sheep. This is the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it's not as if he's saying, well, all y'all come over here. He speaks the individual name, Mary. And she recognizes him immediately. So it is with all of his sheep. Jesus Christ knows your names, and he will call each and every one of you by name. It is as if he is saying, I am here. I am with you. I am not dead, Mary. I am alive forevermore. And she knew his voice. And she says to him, Rabboni, teacher. And what a beautiful picture we are given here. As she recognizes him, this is not some affectionless response. Oh, teacher, it's you. I'm glad you're not dead. She says, teacher. Surely she would have leapt forward and embraced him. We know this because Jesus' very next words are, do not cling to me. It's an interesting response we have from Jesus. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I think there are two things that we can gather from this response of Jesus, over which a great deal of ink has been spilled. The first, I think, is very simply that Jesus is comforting her. As I've said before, it's this recognition, Mary, I am not dead. I am here. The grave could not hold me, Mary. I am with you. And the second thing that I think he is saying is, I have not yet ascended to the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. If you cling to me now only, you will not receive the Helper. You would not be with me in paradise, but this life would be your only hope. No, he says, I must ascend. I must ascend, and in time I will bring you, my beloved child, into paradise with me, where you will be with me forever in glory. That is what Jesus is promising to Mary. What an amazing picture of God's compassion, God's love, the love of Jesus Christ. He is risen. The grave could not hold him, and that tomb remains empty today. So that promise of paradise and glory, where we will embrace our Lord and Savior when He calls our name, when He calls your name, that is what awaits us. Well, what does the resurrection mean for us today? I don't want to be too dramatic when I say absolutely everything. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our hope is only in this life. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is futile. And we would, as Paul says, be above all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And as surely as Jesus has resurrection life in Himself, you have that same power of the resurrection in you. You have life in you through Christ if you believe in Him. If you have confessed Him as your Lord, if you have repented and believe in Him, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is at work in you. Turn to Romans chapter 6. We will read the first 12 verses here. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. In the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are no longer slaves to sin. That old man died on the cross with Christ. He was crucified with Christ on the cross. Do not return to that old man as though you were dead again, letting sin reign in your flesh. But live in the newness of life, presenting your members not for unrighteousness, but for righteousness to God in Christ Jesus, in the power of the resurrection of Christ. What an encouraging word to those who have struggled with habitual sin. Sin that you strive to fight against, but you just don't seem to shake. That is of the old man. You are not enslaved to sin, but you are alive in Christ Jesus. Live every day in recognition of the power of the resurrection life of Christ. I will end us with this word from Paul in 1 Corinthians. Try as I might, I find no words are better fitting than that which is written here to comfort and encourage us in the resurrection of our Lord. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because He is risen, be steadfast, be immovable. Wake up every morning. Remind yourself that you are not dead to sin, that you are not dead in your sin, but you are alive in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He is risen, and the tomb will always remain empty. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise you and thank you for such an awesome work of grace and love, that you have given us your Son, the one whom you loved, to die for us. And that you have raised him by your glory up from the grave. And it is in his life that we now live. It is in His power that we have life. And we thank You that all we who are united to Him by faith share in that life. We ask, O Lord, that You would bless us and equip us for every good work which You have created us for as new creatures in Christ Jesus. That we would go about our work knowing that it is not in vain, but be encouraged to work as unto You and not as unto men. And so let Your name be praised and exalted above all things. And let Your word go forth in power, in spirit and in truth, this day and forevermore. Amen.